puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
You know what I love about Abandoned Manitoba is that Gordon Goldsborough has this army of aides across the province helping him out, giving him suggestions. And this week is one example of that. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja. And you're absolutely right.
Right? So I wasn't here last weekend. Tell us about the clue.
I'm often asked if I have found any abandoned bomb shelters during my travels around the province. And so far, my answer has always been no. But actually, I received an email from a friend recently that has caused me to rethink that answer.
Okay, so what did your friend tell you?
Well, my friend Elise Watchorn was traveling in a fairly remote area along the west shore of Lake Winnipeg, north of Grindstone Point, if anybody's familiar with that part of Manitoba, and she found something that she suspects was a bomb shelter.
Okay, what made her think that?
Well, it kind of fit our common stereotype of a bomb shelter. I mean, the whole idea is it's a place where people can escape injury or death in the event of some sort of catastrophic event, like a bombing. You know, they provide the basic necessities of life. They provide food, water, and shelter. Well, the structure she found kind of fit that bill. It was in a fairly remote area, wooded sort of area, a short distance from the road, and it was a corrugated metal pipe going down into the ground. Kind of looked like a culvert, only it was vertical, and the top of it had a lid. So they went up, and it turns out the lid wasn't sealed, so they were able to lift it off, and at the top was a metal ladder going down into the ground.
Please tell me they didn't climb down this ladder.
They did indeed.
They did?
They did. It went down, I guess, about 8 or 10 feet, got down to a second larger cylinder of corrugated metal, and in this larger cylinder there was a shelving unit where I guess they would put supplies, and next to it was a bunk bed with two beds. And so everything about it sort of said to her, this is a bomb shelter.
First of all, clearly Elise hasn't seen many horror films because that's how they all start. But she made out alive, right?
She did indeed, yes.
Okay, do you think it's a bomb shelter?
Well, there's two aspects of it that suggest to me that it's not a bomb shelter. Well, first of all, it's just too remote. I mean, typically you build a bomb shelter somewhere close to where you are. You know, back during the Cold War, for example, people were advised that it would be a good idea to build one in their basement. So in the event of a disaster, they could take their family into the bomb shelter. This one is far from the nearest town. There isn't any buildings nearby it. And in fact, it looks like it never has had buildings nearby it. So why would you choose that remote location for a bomb shelter? The second thing is it's too small. You know, I think of a bomb shelter as where you can put at least a family in there. Well, this thing is so small that, well, two people would be pretty cozy in there. Anything more than that, and it would just be cheek to jowl. So I really don't think it makes sense. It's just not what I would consider to be a bomb shelter.
Have you come across any other structures like this one?
Well, as it happens, when I got the photos of the site from my friend Elise, it made me think of something, that I had seen something like it. So I went back into my files, and it turned out about 4 years ago, another one of my friends, Jim Burns, who is an avid caver, he and his friends were out looking at caves in the Interlake. They were up Highway 6, just south of Grand Rapids, and they found something that looks very similar. Right along the highway, it was a metal cylinder sticking out of the ground, and the lid came off. They went down a ladder and into another larger cylinder. Looked generally the same. And I thought, yeah, these two things, it can't be a coincidence, these two structures looking so similar.
So this is where Detective Goldsborough comes out, because I'm envisioning all of this, cross-referencing photos. What was this?
Well, so I did some research, and finally I came across what I think is a critical clue. I found a paper that had been published in 2011 by a military historian. And what it described was a program of the federal government here in Canada that operated between 1959 and 1963 to monitor radioactive fallout across Canada. Now, keep in mind, this was the early 60s, this was the height of the Cold War, and politicians worried that if a nuclear bomb was detonated here in Canada or even in the adjoining United States, that some of this radioactivity would drift across the country and would have disastrous results. So they decided to set up a program to monitor radioactive fallout from one of these disasters. So starting in 1961 and continuing into 1962, they began building a national network of what they called 2,000 fallout monitoring posts, are FMPs. 2,000 of them across the country. And the idea was each of these FMPs would have one or two people who would go out after there had been some suspected bombing, taking local measurements. How much radioactivity is there? And they would transmit this result to some sort of data center, and they in turn would collect it, analyze it, and provide recommendations to government officials and military commanders. And I think These two structures, the one along Lake Winnipeg and the one up near Grand Rapids, are two of these fallout monitoring posts.
You solve the mystery, as always. Okay, where were these monitoring posts built?
Well, that's the rub. This paper I found from 2011 was the absolute greatest thing I could have found, because basically I found newspapers from that time that said that they had, in fact, built 100 of them in Manitoba. There were 100, and so these might be two of them. And this paper from 2011 actually had a map that showed the locations where they were going to build them. And lo and behold, the two spots where my friends had found these things corresponded exactly to two points on the map. So I'm almost certain that that's what these are.
So you've only got to find 98 more.
Well, that's the thing now. Now I'm really, I want to go out there and drive around looking for fallout monitoring posts.
Yeah, forget these grain elevators. Time for a new obsession. Okay, were these posts ever used?
Well, as far as I can ascertain, they were used at least once. Not because there had been a nuclear explosion, but they did a training exercise just to make sure that the network worked properly in August of 1962. The results of this exercise were going to be transmitted to something they called a filter center, where they would collect the results from all of these posts from all over the country, all, you know, 2,000 of them, and they would then transmit them to sort of intermediate posts, which would then transmit them to another larger center. Well, in fact, there was a whole network. So I found, for example, that they were going to have a monitoring station at the Air Force Base in Portes-la-Prairie, another one at the Air Force Base in Gimli, and another one, this one's kind of odd, I kind of find this kind of interesting, at the Great Falls Hydro Generating Station. They were going to have a fallout monitoring station at a hydroelectric plant. And then these stations would summarize everything and would send it to the what they called the Regional Emergency Government Headquarters. Basically, the central clearinghouse to collect all of this radioactivity data and find out where did the blast occur? Where is the fallout moving with the winds? You know, where should we be evacuating people, you know, to prepare for the oncoming radioactivity? This whole thing that took place in, say, August of 1962.
And there was a fallout shelter also at the Canadian Forces base in Shiloh?
Yeah, absolutely. So this regional headquarters, they had one in various places across Canada, and the one here in Manitoba was at Camp Shiloh, of course, which is a military base. Kind of makes sense. And the idea was this was not just a little underground structure for a couple of people. This was a big structure. It was two stories underground. It had room for government officials, so the premier of the province, for example, senior civil servants, various other politicians, military officials. Well, some people call these kind of structures Diefenbunkers because the federal government of John Diefenbaker was the one that put them into place. And so there is, in fact, a Diefenbunker at Canadian Forces Base Shiloh. But a friend of mine who lives near the base of Brad Moorhead, he tells me that, in fact, the Diefenbunker at Shiloh was decommissioned during the 1990s. It was still there as recently as the 1990s, but they covered over the entrance to it. And apparently you can still kind of see where that bomb shelter was underneath the ground at CFB Shiloh. But again, I should be careful in saying it wasn't truly a bomb shelter. It was more of a fallout shelter to protect our citizens from nuclear fallout.
So that makes three fallout shelters in this story.
Well, yeah, but as you said, now that I have seen this map, well, it turns out they didn't just put them underground. They put them in other places as well. Some of them were in railway stations. Some of them were in government offices, provincial, federal government offices, even RCMP detachments. In fact, last night I gave a presentation and somebody told me that they knew of a bomb shelter that it's attached to a grain elevator in north of Dauphin. So there could be many more of these bomb shelters out there. And I'm going to put it out to our listeners. If anyone else knows of bomb shelters, I want to know.
And you know you'll get calls. That's what I love about these.
I certainly hope so.
All right. Thank you so much. And I should say a big thank you to Elise as well for climbing down that very scary tunnel, because you managed to unearth, literally,
yes,
and figuratively, this entire history. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
The clue for next week, please.
Well, a notable feature of our provincial legislative building is its attractive walls of Tyndall stone that, despite its name, is actually quarried at Garson, not at Tyndall. Next week, we're going to look at another building, this one's abandoned, that it's also made from this stone.
Gordon, thank you.
See you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.